It's time for the Podketeer Podcast.
Good morning, Christopher Robin.
Oh, good morning, Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, well, glad to meet you. Name's Tigger. T-I-double-G-R. That spells Tigger.
Now, isn't this a clever disguise?
It's the Podketeer Podcast with your host, Mark Tanner. Take it away, Mark.
This could be about anything. And if you're like me, you wait and see. For I've got curiosity.
Hello, Podketeers, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of the Podketeer Podcast. Episode 61, presented to you live from Whittier, California. Sorry, we're not at Disneyland today, although a couple of my segments that I recorded out at the park just a couple days ago were recorded at Disneyland, so we're kind of sort of live. But today I couldn't make it out to Disneyland, so sorry about that. It is Labor Day. I am one day late with the show, so my sincere apologies for being a day late, but I am not a dollar short. I am bringing you a great show, I believe. One of my favorite ones. And I've got a ton of information for you. A wonderful new Disney website. It's not an official Disney website, but certainly related to Disney, that you may not know about. I certainly think you'll enjoy, because I have really enjoyed it today. And, hey, I've got so much stuff to tell you about. I have not got time to rattle on here without any direction. So that'll be all the rattling on I'm going to do for right now. So here's me walking around the park aimlessly looking at plants.
Hello, Podketeers. I am out here today doing kind of a informal survey of the vegetation at Disneyland. And you know, it's one of those things that you come out here to the park and you see it, but you just don't think about it. I'm here by the pond, the submarine pond in Tomorrowland, adjacent to Fantasyland, and looking at just the vegetation around the pond. I mean, there are dozens of shrubs, plants, a few trees, all of them planted right around the pond. They don't receive any water from the pond. They have sprinklers spread all over the area. And just the logistics of running the sprinklers and timing the sprinklers must just be mind-boggling. I mean, I'm sure the computers nowadays help that, but can you imagine back in the days when they really didn't have computers running much of anything here? You know, looking at the Matterhorn, all around the base of the Matterhorn there are trees, grass, shrubs. Walking in at the Esplanade, there are a couple of dozen planters with ivy and flowers and so forth. Now, all of that is planted in dirt and spread, fed by a sprinkler system there to water that. So those, you know, other than just maybe pruning it and so forth every once in a while, those are maybe a little less labor-intensive than some of these things. So you figure these shrubs have to be trimmed. If they didn't trim these things, they'd get completely out of hand. And they want it to look fairly much the same when you come out here. So you figure all of these gigantic trees and shrubs have to be trimmed. So, I mean, they must have a crew just to do that. Now, I know the flowers around a Walt statue, from what I understand, are actually in pots, and they come out as needed and replace the flowers and then they cover it up with loose soil so it looks like they're planted in the dirt. But from what I understand, they're not. They're in pots. Like I said, that allows them to change them out, put different colors, and keep them looking good. And it's pretty clever if you think about it. I know when you ride the monorail, if you watch around Tomorrowland, when you go out of the guest area, if you look down, you can see where they keep a lot of the plants and trees in pots down there, which is kind of interesting. The Matterhorn's broke down. It isn't really part of the report, but the Matterhorn is broke down. Just in case you have to be here today, and I don't know how much good it would do you, because you're not going to hear this for a few days. But the plants out back, a lot of them are food plants. Oh, you know, though, this is too funny. I'm standing here looking at the buoy in the submarine pond and watching the seagulls. And right in front of the seagulls is a real seagull. I wonder what he thinks of the other seagulls. He's not looking back there like he thinks they're blood brothers or anything, but it sounds like he's used to the noise they make, because it didn't seem to startle him. That's pretty interesting. The seagull in front of the seagulls. People taking pictures of him. I've noticed it planted all over the place here at the park. Doubling his ornamental plants are corn, different berries. I've noticed strawberries planted here. Now they seem to have them back far enough so people can't pick them and eat them. I guess there'd be some kind of liability if somebody was allergic to them or something and they got a hold of them. Now, there are some palm trees planted over here in Tomorrowland. Now, I remember hearing something about that Walt himself planted some of the palm trees over here. Now, I'm not sure which ones of the palm trees are the ones he planted, but I believe I remember hearing in one of the books I read that Walt planted some of the palm trees. So it's a bit of history. And some of these palm trees, you can see the ones over here by Carousel of Progress, are pretty old. They've been here, they could very easily have been here since the park opened. All right, well, I hope you enjoyed my little tour of the botanical areas at the park. Now, I'm going to get on the internet when I get home and kind of supplement this with a little bit of real factual information, which you're not used to getting here on Podcateer. Okay, well, on with the show.
See the night in a whole new light. It's Summer Nightastic, this summer at the Disneyland Resort.
Hello, Podcateers. You know, it's amazing at the number of plants that you find at Disneyland. I did that little recording I just played for you out at the park, and that was just off the top of my head. There wasn't any background information there other than what I just happened to know. And I've been trying to track whether Walt actually planted the palm trees over in Tomorrowland. I've heard that story, though, but I haven't been able to confirm it. Now, there is the Dominguez date palm. Now, I don't know if you've heard this story. There's a 110-year-old canary date palm that towers over Adventureland. They actually had to build the structure around the Jungle Boat cruise around the palm tree. And when Walt Disney Enterprises purchased the land from the Dominguez family, who owned the orchard, that tree, which had been planted in 1896 and was presented to the Dominguez family as a wedding gift, Disneyland had to agree to keep that palm tree in place and to tend to it. So in 1955, when they built Disneyland, they built around it. And, well, they actually moved the palm tree, I guess, a little ways. And they found a spot for it in Adventureland. Because, you know, palm tree wouldn't make much sense if it was around the rivers of America. It wouldn't look quite right. But that's a pretty interesting. I've heard that a number of different places. And I'll tell you, if you like plants and you're interested in the plants around Disneyland, there is a website, and it is called theplantsofdisneyland.com. It's www.plantsofdisneyland.com. There's no the in it. And it is a really nice website. And in the website, there is a downloadable PDF format book all about the plants of Disneyland, with where they're located at, the type of plant that they are, and a picture of the plant. And it is a great book. And it's free. You can go to that, and I'm going to put a link. Well, actually, I'm not going to put a link because I don't want to suck up their bandwidth. So what I've done is I've made a copy of it. I'm going to put it in my space, but it is entirely their property. It's their copyright, but it's free. So I'm just providing you access to the book. So you can't print it for sale. You can give it away, but you can't sell it. It's being shared by them with the public, and it's I have to give them a big thanks. Now, it's got what I did was I printed out a few pages at the beginning of the book, and it says that there are thousands of plants at Disneyland, and all of them could not be squeezed into this handy guide. Fortunately, many of the prominent plants are here and are easily recognizable. That's the first paragraph of the how-to section of the guide. And it tells, let's see here. It says, with the knowledge from this book and your own observations of the park, you can create some of the magic in your backyard. So it gives you a little bit of information about how you could actually plant a lot of the same plants that are in Disneyland in your backyard. You know, I've always had a fantasy myself of taking my front yard and planting the Mickey face planter in my front yard. I don't have a huge front yard, but I can do a downsized version of it. But my wife is not really a big fan of that idea. It says here, let's see, here's the introduction to the book. It says, the plants at Disneyland and California Adventure make up a framework that helps to merge fantasy and reality. The plantscapes are carefully designed to transport you to faraway places, both real and imaginary. For instance, try to imagine Adventureland without them. Would the bull elephants seem so real if not trudging through bamboo? And what else lurks behind the jungle? Because of the plants, it is not merely a painted backdrop or 50 feet up to a concrete wall, it is anything you could think of. There could be a whole herd back there. And you know what's neat about this website that I just described to you about the plants is it's really up to date. It's got all the plants from Cars Land in there, photographs of them. It's a wonderful website, and I highly recommend it. If you have any interest in the landscaping and plants and or just Disneyland in general, this website and a downloadable book are just full of great pieces of information like what I just read to you. And it says, here, and ultimately, why is the Mickey Mouse mural at the entrance created from plants? Because Disneyland is about more than rides. It is about beauty, art, and decency. It is a celebration of creativity and a fostering of the imagination and the appreciation for life. What better palette than the flowers that symbolize all of those ideals? Well, that's a nice piece of information. And let's see here. It says, the man who planted Disney was not just a world-renowned landscape architect, but he was the most important. He was most importantly a wonderful dad and a great friend. So this apparently was put together by Pete Evans about his father, Bill Evans. And Bill Evans and Jack Evans, who were apparently the original landscapers of the park, have a window on Main Street. I can't really make out where it is. Just says it's on Main Street. So look for the Bill and Jack Evans window. It says Evans Gardens is what it says on the window. So that would be interesting to look for. Let's see. Here's a tribute to Bill Evans by Pete Evans. This is at the beginning of the book. It says, in 1947, my dad, Bill Evans, his brothers, Jack and Bernie, my sister Marjorie, and their respective families bought a small canyon just below Will Rogers State Park near Pacific Palisades. This four-family group built houses, roads, bridges, and ultimately fabulous gardens on 1 or 2 acre parcels. These were not your run-of-the-mill botanical efforts, but incredible extravaganzas. And the most dramatic of them was my dad's. It says, my youthful memories are of the exotic and tropical delights that astounded my friends. I recall many photo shoots by high-end photographers and models amidst the elephant ear photodendrons, giant bamboo, and rare Strelitzia, bird of paradise, LA's official flower. I didn't know that. And it says he grew up in the canyon. It was like living in a wonderland. It says, through their world-famous Evans and Reeves nursery in Brentwood and their many personal international contacts, his grandfather Hugh Evans, Dad Bill, and Uncle Jack brought to Southern California a multitude of botanical additions to what used to be a desert landscape. And so after landscaping Walt Disney's house, his dad and brother were invited to design and landscape Disneyland. It said Jack passed away just a few years after Disneyland opens, but Bill Evans was retained as staff landscape architect and eventually designed the landscape and managed the crews that planted Disney Tokyo, Disney Paris, and vast sections of Walt Disney World at Epcot. Now that's something I had no idea about. So there's a ton of information just at the beginning of this book without even getting into the pictures and so forth. So I highly recommend downloading this. And let me read you the foreword here also. It says, pardon my paper shuffling. It says, so much has been written about Disneyland that it can be difficult to imagine a topic which hasn't been discussed before. Yet any good book will do exactly that. It'll explore new ground, uncover new facts, and expose the reader to new perspectives previously unimagined. The volume you hold in your hands does all that and more. Others have written books about Disney parks, and a few even focus specifically on the horticulture found in these magical realms. A prominent example focuses on the gardens at Walt Disney World. But until now, there's been no equivalent tome for Disneyland. All right, that's the first paragraph. I don't want to read the whole thing to you. It'd take forever. But as I said, I highly recommend going to www.plantsofdisneyland.com and downloading the book for your personal enjoyment. Alrighty. Well, now that I've told you how to get a hold of that book and a little bit of information I have about the plants and my little walk around the park, let's go on to some Disneyland news.
From all around the park and deep inside all the dark rides, here is this week's Disneyland Park News.
Marketeers, a little Disney news. I was out at the park on Saturday, and I saw that they had all the setup for the Disney Half Marathon, which I didn't realize was fixing to run. And it did, in fact, run the next day, which was on Sunday. And I have the finishers here. I have Richard Parson finished first in what I would have to say is probably the wheelchair portion of the race, because it was the fastest time. Normally, the wheelchair participants are much quicker than the runners. The first place of the runners was a fellow by the name of Jimmy Grabo, who is from Running Springs, California, rather appropriately. And he finished in what is a record time for the event, a minute, 5 minutes and 29 seconds. The winning woman was a lady by the name of Cindy Lynch, who finished in 1 hour, 24 minutes, and 45 seconds. So that's your sports portion of the Podcateer Disney News. Now, what I've got is something that I actually picked up last week, but I didn't have time to fit it in. And it's about that the Disney company is giving serious thought to purchasing Euro Disney outright. Right now, they own 40% of Euro Disney. And they are going to have to make some significant investments in Euro Disney if it's going to survive. Like with any of the parks, they've got to do major upgrades to things and add new rides. And it just isn't cost-effective if they're only receiving 40% of the proceeds. Because the company itself that owns the other 60% is not really doing well enough to spend that kind of money on it. So Disney would have to step in and do it. So right now, the shares, it would only cost Disney, $120 million to repurchase the Disneyland Resort. And that's only a fifth of what they just spent upgrading California Adventure. So it would be a bargain in relation to that. And the company is in heavy debt. The interest payments have become a bigger and bigger expense. It's robbing the company of opportunities to spend the money on improving the park. So as I said, Disneyland Paris needs an infusion of cash to pay down its remaining debt and to build new attractions. And it'd be a much smarter Disney deal, business deal for Disney to make that investment if it got 100% of the return back instead of just 40%. So Disney's got two options. It can let Disneyland Paris linger, which would be bad because it makes the company look bad and makes the Disney brand name suffer. Or they could step in, spend what would be a bargain price of $120 million, and take it over completely. And I am pretty sure, knowing Disney, that that's exactly what's going to happen. So don't be surprised to hear that Disney has purchased the Disneyland Paris outright very soon. that's something that you can expect. One little thing here. It isn't really Disneyland news, but I want to make sure that I make a mention of this. If you get a chance to go to the Trees and Plants of the Disneyland Resort website that I mentioned a little bit earlier here, it is by Kevin St. Clair Martin. That's who did the PDF downloadable book that's on there. So I know that isn't Disneyland news, but I wanted to make sure I mentioned that. Okay, hey, on with the show. Hope you enjoyed the news.
And now, from somewhere inside the Enchanted Kingdom of Disneyland, your host, Mark Tanner.
Well, I was trying to sneak a peek at the Fantasy Fair, and there's really nothing much to see. There's a big hole in the ground. The framework of the old dance pavilion is still there. I don't know if they're planning on using that or not, but it's still there. And they got a pretty good wall around it. Most of the construction walls at Disneyland, you can usually find a little crack in them where you can see something through them, but this particular one, no luck. But I talked to one of the security people who has apparently been in there, and he was telling me that there's just a big hole in the ground, so nothing to see yet. I am wandering over here into Frontierland. And I'm still kind of keeping an eye open for vegetation. Just in the entry area, there's really not that much vegetation. Well, the shooting gallery's open. That was closed for construction last time I was here. You wander over here and you can hear the sounds, and I'm gonna see what changed. I don't see anything that looks particularly different, which maybe was the idea. The butts of the guns look a little shinier, but other than that, I can't really notice anything in particular that's changed. You know, every time I come over here and look at the dry goods store and the novelty wear, Bonanza Outfitters, it reminds me that it used to be a Pendleton store. And I mentioned it before, but I'll mention it again. They're selling Pendleton shirts back at the Disneyland Resort again, over at Ramon's in Carsland. They've got them. They're not cheap. They're like 150, 160 something. I don't remember exactly, but actually I think they were like 120, which is pretty pricey for a shirt, but they're really good shirts. But they're winter shirts, they're nothing you'd want to wear during the summer, you'd keel over dead. But I found that interesting that they're selling Pendleton shirts again. Unfortunately, they didn't have them my size. So if I want one my size, I guess I'll have to find it on the internet. Now back over here around the restaurant, Mexican restaurant, Rancho de... I can never remember the names of these places. I'm gonna walk over here. Rancho de Zocalo? Okay. The old Frito restaurant, which is what I remember it as a kid. There's a lot of vegetation back here. A lot of
ivy. In fact, the same stuff I have growing in my backyard. It's a flowering hedge, basically. And that's growing over the front of the building. And a couple of cactus plants. And I mean, it's just thick vegetation, especially around the rivers of America. That's probably the thickest vegetation in the park. There's just hundreds and hundreds of trees. And over in New Orleans Square, Adventureland area, they lost a tree a few years back. One of the biggest trees in the park. They're fairly close to the treehouse, which isn't a tree, by the way. It's a structure. But right next to that, the tree fell over. And as I recall, it was during off hours, so it didn't hurt anybody. But they were fortunate. It could just as easily have fallen over during park hours. So I'd be willing to bet you they kind of do a tree health survey every once in a while to make sure that doesn't happen again. I would hate to imagine the lawsuit that would ensue if one of these trees fell on somebody. But the way people are sue happy nowadays, I'm quite sure somebody would find an attorney. Alrighty. Well, that's about as exciting as trees get back over here. You know, I did want to mention, I'm not going to make it back to Small World today, but that's the most interesting vegetation, I'm sure you would agree, is all of the shrubs, hedges, whatever you want to call them back there, bushes, trimmed to look like animals. Now, there are a couple up by the castle, the two swans by the castle that are also trimmed to look like swans, of course. So if you haven't made it back to Small World and never been there, take a look on the internet, or next time you come to the park, make it out to Small World, you'll see what I'm talking about. Alrighty. Well, like I said, that's about the most exciting thing I can think of to tell you about the plants and shrubs. You know, that's the first time I noticed that. I'm sitting here looking at the Rancho de Zocalo restaurant. And right over the entrance, there is a metal, I don't want to call it a sign, it's more like part of the archway of Zorro. Now, I wonder why they didn't call the restaurant Rancho de Zorro. I bet you that some thought was given to that. Because that definitely looks like Zorro up on top of the sign. Maybe, well, I mean, they own Zorro, so I can't imagine there'd be any kind of conflict there, but maybe Zocalo is some kind of a restaurant chain or something that I'm not aware of. Like I say, I remember it used to be right out front of here, there was the Frito Kid, and you used to put a nickel in there, and he would say something to you. You can download the soundtrack from all of those off the internet. I've heard them several times. And he would make some kind of comment about Fritos and give you a nice big old bag of Fritos for a nickel. Hey, can't get much at Disneyland for a nickel nowadays. Alrighty, on with the rest of the show.
Podcatia. Podcasting right on schedule, whenever we damn well feel like it.
It's time for another taste of Podcatier Park audio.
Well, you know, Podcatiers, this will tell you that California Adventure has made an impact on Disneyland. This is Labor Day weekend. It's Saturday. And Splash Mountain, on a day when it's 85, maybe 90 degrees, is only a 1 hour wait. That's amazing. And that's the longest wait in the park. Space Mountain's 45 minutes. Indiana Jones is 40 minutes.
I can't remember what she told me.
That's just incredible. On a normal holiday weekend like this, on a warm day, Splash Mountain ought to be ought to be approaching 2 hours. So it's good. I mean, it's bad for Disneyland. I'm sure they'd rather have more people here. But if you're coming here, it's good. Because that means you're not going to have to stand in line for 2 hours for Splash Mountain. And it's really not crowded at all. I mean, I expected much more people here than what I'm seeing. There's places to sit. Now, admittedly, almost all the places in the shade are gone because it's hot. And there's a lot of people fanning themselves. They must be giving out a fan here because I see a lot of people with a fan shaped like Mickey's head. It's got some kind of advertising on it. Now, I checked out the Halloween stuff. There's a few new Halloween things since the last time I was here. A few of them I don't remember from last year. There's a lantern, an electric lantern that you can carry, have your kid carry with them on Halloween, of Mickey as a ghost. It's a common thing. They've had it several times here before, but I haven't seen it made like this. And there's another lantern with an electric candle inside. It looks like it has an image that the light will shine through. It looks like it might turn around. I didn't get a chance to look at it real close. But it might be battery operated where it turns around so you can see the image on it change as it goes around and around. If it doesn't, it should. That would make it a much better thing. Well, the fella's playing the ragtime piano, so I'm going to go over here and get a little piano music before I shut this segment off.
Like Goofy Shoe. I find Goofy
Shut.
Podketeers, just in case you're wondering why I cut off the music right in the middle of a perfectly good piano recital. I'm sure you'll notice that he abruptly changed from playing the music from the Haunted Mansion to playing Mary Poppins music. Well, the reason he did that was Mary Poppins and Bert just happened to come walking into that little Carnation Cafe area where he was playing. And when they did, about 900 million people and their kids came walking in there too. And there was a very, very unhappy little baby among the people that came in there. And that baby was vocally expressing her unhappiness. And you really couldn't hear much except for the baby crying because they were standing very close to where I was sitting. So my apologies at getting out of the middle of that and kind of fading out to oblivion in the middle of their playing Mary Poppins music. So that was why I did that. Okay, well, on with the rest of the show.
I wanna go park hopping fast, ride dropping, flying through space, mountain sky. Magical dreaming, tower drop screaming, it's a spectacular night. Jungle cruise roaring, toy story scoring, electric light parading, my heart soaring. Everyone dancing, fireworks blasting, let's go to Disney summer night dancing. Genie wishing, ice cream dishing, laughing, autographing tonight. Move a busting, pixie dusting, soaring high, clean out of sight. Water falling, cannonballing, I think I hear the pirates calling. Teacups twirling, mountains splashing, let's go to Disney summer night-tastic.
So I am, as it stands, headed on my way out of the park. I hope you enjoyed today's show, and I hope you will join us here again next week for another episode of Podketeer. So until then, y'all have a magical Disney week, and we'll see you at the park.
Podketeer is in no way associated with the Walt Disney Company, or any of its affiliates. Any similarity to living persons, or Disney characters, without satirical purpose, or the act of reviewing a product, or reporting on an event, is entirely coincidental. This podcast is a production of Toys Etc. in Southern California, and is protected by a Creative Commons, Share Alike 3.0 license. To contact us at Podketeer, please email us at podketeer@earthlink.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Disneyland has now concluded its normal operating day.
Yeah, folks, and me and my pals hope you had a swell time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mickey?
Uh-huh?
It's that time.
What time is that, Minnie?
Oh, Goofy?
Huh? Oh.
Now it's time to say goodnight to all our company.
Oh, no, not that one.
M-I-C.
See you real soon.
So is Mickey Mouse.
K-E-Y.
Why?
Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E.
Home.
For your shopping convenience, this evening, Main Street will remain open for an additional half hour.